chop up the old iced tea here, Andy. A good stir. Oh, yeah. That looks just about right. Now, on the balcony, Grandfather Mouse says to Andy, "Now comes the risky part, the dangerous role you have to play. I'd do it myself if there was any way I could. That you must know. I'm just too old and weak, Andy, and more importantly, too slow. Whereas you, I'm afraid, are the perfect candidate."
"To be what?"
"To be bait. Let me explain. You remember I mentioned a train? Well, just down the hill from us, four houses down, resides a man who owns a hound. It's a cross between a bloodhound and a Bernese mountain dog, whose given name is Mountain, I believe. At least that's what his master calls him. So that's why I say, but the dog ignores him anyway. Right at this time every night, the human gets home from work and takes his Bernese out for a walk. But really, it's the other way around. For this doggerel, Mountain, walks his owner like a speedboat walks water skiers. The human claims he's master, but the overpowering mongrel ignores all yanks and commands and follows his natural bent, which is exploring the world of invisible scents. Nose pressed fervently to the ground, he tows them around in a counterclockwise circuit round the church. And when they come by this way, which they nearly always do, the Mountain stops to sniff along this cliff. And at this particular chink, in fact, he stops and seals his nose to the gap and commences his jowls to flutter and flap, blowing a big blap of dog breath in, which he then commences to vacuum up again. Thus, I've described our four-legged friend, the locomotive, and his two-legged caboose. Their dual appearance is almost due, and when you see them, they'll be coming through there, that gap at the end of that hedgerow. When they come, you'll see they're a regular fife and drum. You'll see, and when they burst through, that's when I commission you to carry out your mission. On my command, I want you to run back inside and find the cat. Get its attention however you can. Scream or shout or cry. Pretend to have a tummy ache. Make any scene you need to make that will make him streak to catch you. And when he does, you wait until the last second and then run back to me through this chink and onto the balcony."
I see. Grandfather, the cat won't be able to follow because he's too big to fit."
"Exactly. And that's the crux of it. For our plan to work, he must almost catch you, but not quite. That's the nub. The effect will be that he'll reach inside the passageway, and when he does, I'll be up above on the balcony overhang, where you'll join me, using this grass stem like a fly rod flail to fool him into thinking he's almost got your tail, and thereby hold him in sway that way until our soon-to-be-expected train rolls by this way and pulls into the station. Wait, listen. There's the caboose." Andy strained to listen. Faintly, he could hear it, too.
"Mountain! Mountain, slow up! Not so fast!
Mountain, slow up!
Mountain, you're pulling my arm out of its socket!
Mountain, slow up!"
Grandfather Mouse said, "Okay, Andy. Here they come. Now, be nimble, be quick, and remember, when the cat charges you, you've got to stick it out to the very last second. If you run too much ahead of him, when he gets to the hole, he won't bother reaching in. That will defeat our purpose. He's got to almost catch you, but not quite."
"I understand, Grandfather."
"Now, one last thing, Andy, and it's the most important thing. Whatever you do, don't let him seize you."
"Don't worry, Grandfather. I won't let him catch me.
Good. Now get going. I know you can do it. With Grandfather's encouraging words still ringing in his ears, Andy set off to fulfill his mission. Just as the sounds of the master and hound could be heard coming up the hill.
Mountain, no, you stupid dog! This way! You're getting all tangled all around the lamppost. Oh, see, this is why I hate these walks.
Meanwhile, Andy Mouse, after making a short duck through the chink, halts inside the opening before venturing out under the vaulted chamber. Attempting to see in all directions at once, his darting eyes search all around, while his searching eyes dart all around. Either way, no cat can be found, no threatening shape lurking in the murk, though everywhere he looks, he can almost see its outline and formation, owing to his active imagination, sending rippling waves of fear and trepidation flooding through his frame and making him shiver. Andy's instinct is to keep to the shadows, but there's no time for that now. He isn't in hiding, he's looking to be found, which means he should simply stride out boldly to the center of the chancel floor. But instead, what does he do? He timidly ventures out just a few feet. And by feet, I'm referring to paws. His front ones first, then his back too. Andy couldn't believe he was doing this. He felt like a wader entering a pool with a shark. This was crazy. And with every dangerous step of this forward-moving plot, he wished his mother were here so he could ask her,
"Mother, may I?"
And she could reply, "No, you may not." Andy crept forward till his line of sight allowed him to cast a furtive eye down the center aisle. There it was. There, he spied it. A shaggy monster lying on its side. In the annals of mice, it has generally been acknowledged that they are born inherently shy, but now the situation required a complete about-face. So, hitching up his thespian tights, he strides forward into a blue spotlight created by an errant moonbeam. He decides he's going to follow his grandfather's suggestion and perform the tummy ache routine.
Oh, ow, ow. Ow! Oh, oh, it hurts!
Ow!
Ow! Oh, ow! 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 It hurts!
Ow, it hurts!
Although pretending not to be looking in the direction of the cat, Andy keeps checking the reaction he's getting, which is none and slim. The reviews are not exactly pouring in, as his audience of one is still in snooze mode. Asleep? Or else dead. Andy's not sure, but if you asked him to tell you which he preferred, that he could easily do. The brave little mouse steals closer. As he does, his ears, paper thin, begin to detect from the matted mound of fur. No, it's not dead. Its motors set on her. Andy draws closer just to be sure.
Yes. Yes. That's a snore for sure.
Regular and sonorous. Forms a kind of masking chorus that must have been what drowned out his earlier performance. He begins screwing up his courage once again for another encore. He couldn't believe his assignment was to actually spook this cat and make it wake, when he'd rather be avoiding it like the plague, as any sensible mouse would do. Let sleeping dogs lie. Well, the same rule ought to apply to cats, especially ones that look like pirates. But Andy knew he had to go through with it. He couldn't let his grandfather down. So, holding his abdomen and ratcheting up his gut-wrenching feeling, he strides into the next spotlight and aims a performance up at the ceiling worthy of the death scene in Hamlet. In mouse speak, it reads, "Horatio, I am dead. Good night, sweet prince," etc., etc. Lifting a paw to his forehead, he spins on his pins, then staggers, then lurches, then spins again, the way Hamlet probably did after suffering the prick from the poisonous stick, followed by that chaser of hemlock. For a grand climax, Andy finally lets loose with one ultimate agonizing death rattle. Andy dies and hits the deck, and at last this has the desired effect by awakening the cat, who reacts somewhat like a jumping jack. Spronging itself several feet off the ground, swiveling in air and coming down on all four padded feet. At first, it's a look of befuddled surprise that plays across his cat-nipped eyes, bleary from the night before. He blinks and stares and does repeated double take, with about as much expression as a cat ever makes. Normally next to none, but there is no doubt the cat is looking right at him. Andy's brave legs stand there shaky ground. He is bracing for the charge he expects is coming. However, much to the chagrin of his grandfather's cunning, a cat stampede appears not in the running. For instead, this suspicious and wary feline has turned itself into a low rider car, lowering its chassis down to the ground, and is beginning a slow motion stalk. Andy wants to call out, "Time out!" This is not the way it was scripted. What should he do? Grandfather's answer comes out of the blue. "Improvise, Andy! Try a new tack! Choose a new take! Forget about the bellyache! Challenge him! You can do it!" So Andy stood on his hind legs, lifted his chin, stuck out his chest like a lion rampant on a crest, and raised his paws and began shadowboxing the air. But not to leave it there, when he was done with his shadowy fisticuffs, he placed his fists upon his hips and, leaning forward, let out a sound that was the loudest, wettest raspberry he could make. No, let's don't say we did. Not at the table. Boy. Try later outside, okay?
"Hey, Grandpa, I'm outside."
Yeah, so you are. All right. Go get on your bus. God, what have I unleashed?